The Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live.
It's a good Wednesday. Thanks for being with us. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. It is a great Wednesday. We have a busy show on tap. I've had a dreadful morning with traffic. There was a rollover or something. I left. It took me 2 hours to get to the studio today. Now I'm getting it out of the way. Jordan is in today for Eric, which is fine. You don't like me when I'm grumpy. Not many people like me when I'm grumpy. I'm very grumpy after the run that I went on today. So I just want you to know, coming into this, this is going to be a bumpy show.
Rarely I get a warning, so I appreciate that.
Yeah, no, it's if I snap heads today, like Edwin can't screw up today. Edwin can't screw up. You can't screw up. I can't screw up. It's one of those days. I'm just giving you a fair warning.
All right? I will stay out of the way.
Stay out of the way. All right. Actually, I'm going to be fine. It's just 2 hours. It's spring break. Jimmy Vaccaro will be with us today. We'll go up to South Point. Jimmy will check in with us here at 10:20 on all things around the tournament. Bob Hurley Sr., I'm looking forward to this. We saw the emotional moment between when Danny Hurley saw that Bobby went into the tournament. And what is it about the Hurleys, the dad, the sons? Tonight, of course, Bobby will be coaching for Arizona State, the Sun Devils in. And then at 10:50, I'll have Jim Spanarkle with us. Jim will be doing the game tonight, the color analysis of the game. And he'll be doing that with True TV. Paul Coro will be with us at 11 o'clock for Talk to the Lopes. So we have just a jam-packed show, all things around college basketball. But going to get in the Cardinals, of course, here to get started. We're brought to you by Sagicor Now. Guys, protect what matters most. When was the last time that you checked into your life insurance and said, you know, I'm really not where I need to be? Things have changed. You've got to protect what matters most. So log on to Sagicor Now, sagicornow.com. Go check it out, get your free quote, and make sure you're up to speed and where you need to be with your life insurance. Again, we thank Sagicor and their support. Sam Bradford comes to the Cardinals, and you would think the world came to an end because it is not Kirk Cousins. And yet Kirk Cousins gets $80 million guaranteed. The key term yesterday was guaranteed. The big takeaway from all the quarterbacks yesterday was guaranteed top to bottom. I am all about the players. And to see Kirk Cousins get that amount of money to go to Minnesota. And Minnesota is sitting there. That's a team that almost went to the Super Bowl last year, and they didn't blow out one. No, they didn't blow out two. No, they blew out three quarterbacks, all three of them from a team that came close to getting to the Super Bowl. Meantime, you have the Cardinals, who didn't even sniff the postseason last year, and they're going with someone who's fragile. There's no other way to put it. And yet when he's on the field and he's healthy, he can put up great numbers. And at the start of last season, he tore it up against the New Orleans Saints, put up some big numbers. But does this really matter to the average fan? All they're going to hear about and see is Sam Bradford gets hurt. When is he going to get hurt? So then Mike Glennon's name shows up on the radar. Mike Glennon is a name that we've heard from North Carolina State and Tampa Bay and the Chicago Bears, and he's done really nothing. And they haven't signed him as of yet, or at least up until I started the show. They may have done it in the last couple of minutes. But I hear Mike Glennon's name, and I'm just, eh. I mean, really, are you guys in the same boat as I am? I know Sam Bradford's going to get hurt. I know that. Sam Bradford's not going to go play 16 games. That's not in his DNA. If I can get 12 games out of Sam Bradford at a much lower cost than Kirk Cousins, then I guess that's the direction I have to go. The Cardinals couldn't just stand by and take no quarterback here. They had to get a quarterback. The question is, if they believe bringing Mike Glennon in here versus, who has got a couple of years experience, versus going out and getting a college player who has no NFL experience, and if they bring in Mike Glennon along with Sam Bradford, are they out of the quarterback business of developing a young guy? I mean, if you look at how they've handled just the last year, the last few years is probably better context, of having to be Carson Palmer and Drew Stanton and guys like, you know, Matt Barkley, to find guys that were out there on the back end of their careers or guys that they thought had proven themselves or could prove themselves to be somebody serviceable in the NFL and say, this is the direction that we need to go. rather than drafting, I guess that's the feeling from Steve Keim and Michael Bidwell, is we don't see the value. And again, I'm making this judgment today on the 14th of March. If they pick a quarterback at the end of April, which I believe they should do, I would think most rational, reasonable people would rather see a young quarterback come in than Matt Barkley. He's young. He's had a couple of years experience, but it ain't happening. You'd much rather see the team trade up out of 15 and go get a quarterback, or would you? Are you of the opinion that, look, if you miss on a quarterback, and maybe this is where Michael is on all this, you know, Michael Bidwell's on this, when they miss so badly on Matt Leinart, when they just completely set the organization back years and years by missing so badly on that pick, in the back of his mind, it's, I cannot justify going out and getting a quarterback. Steve, we're not going to do that. Okay, let's go this route. Let's go take a guy who's had a couple of years' experience in Mike Glennon, and we think he can play because we know for sure that that Sam Bradford gets hurt. If they stand up there at the press conference when they introduce Sam Bradford and say, you know, he's going to be fine, he's going to be great, the first question is going to be, hey, Sam, can you address your health? Can you address your knee? Can you address staying healthy? It's going to happen. And the last time I checked, this is not an offensive line that top to bottom you look at and say, wow, this offensive line is great. They've got it all figured out. So yesterday, I won't say it was confusing or befuddling. The numbers that were floated out yesterday, and I say floated out, agents always want to get the numbers out front. Agents are out there saying, look at what I got my guy. Look at what I got my guy. And so when you see numbers that are floated on day one, are they necessarily the right number, the correct number, or are we trying to rush out there, we in our industry, and throw numbers out there that aren't quite right, and then they get adjusted a week later or 2 weeks later in a little tweet that says, oh, by the way, the numbers really were this. So I'm not going to overreact on the number that was thrown out there yesterday for Sam Bradford. It feels to me like we know that this is our bridge. They like to use the term bridge, stopgap bridge, whatever term you want to use. That this is not the long-term answer. So who is the long-term answer? Is it really Mike Glennon? Mike Glennon's been moved around a couple of times. I get it. Case Keenum moved around and bounced around too. I understand that that's life in the NFL. You know, Adrian Peterson getting released, that's a one-line deal. He wasn't going to come back here. John Brown leaving and going to the Ravens. I go back on John Brown to what I heard coming out of the organization last year. John Brown's going to be great. Last March, I heard a couple of interviews. John Brown's going to be great. John Brown's going to be fine. John Brown's going to be this. And, of course, it's offseason. And, of course, it's trying to get fans excited rather than being realistic and just say, we don't know for sure. Let's just see how this plays out. So I'm not surprised John Brown leaves. It's just another blow to the wide receiving core. So as I'm sitting here today, and you don't know about Mike Iupati's situation yet with his contract and if he's back. So as you sit here and look today, they have holes on the offensive line. They have the hole at wide receiver opposite of Larry because there's nobody that's convinced me otherwise. David Johnson, is he back at 100%? You can say that he's back and kind of, David Johnson, he's going to be so great. I don't know that. You would think so, but you just don't know till a guy gets back out on the field. And I'm not going to sit here and cheerlead and go rah-rah all day long. I don't think Sam Bradford's a terrible sign. Some people think they're like, it's terrible. No, I think you can justify it in this way. Sam Bradford gives you a chance to win when he's on the field, when he's healthy. So have somebody behind him, but you've got to have that guy that you're developing long-term and that this is really the bridge year of quarterbacks. Did they consult Larry Fitzgerald on this? Larry was out there recruiting. I saw pictures of Larry and Kirk Cousins. I didn't see any pictures of Larry and Sam Bradford. This is who we're going to do. Did Larry help recruit Sam Bradford to come here? I like where Case Keenum was. I like the numbers that Case Keenum put up. If you look at the numbers of Case Keenum versus Kirk Cousins and the amount of money that was spent, it seems to me that Denver got a better deal than Minnesota. So, you know, the way that this all unfolded yesterday, and there's still more shoes to drop. It's the first day of free agency. And we'll take a break here. Jimmy Vaccaro is next. Running late. We'll get Jimmy next from the South Point Resort and Casino. All things around the NCAA. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, let's go to Vegas now. By the way, tonight, football show is on Fox Sports Arizona. Football show, 16 airings this week. Make sure you check it out on Fox Sports Arizona. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Jimmy Vaccaro joins us now at South Point. And first and foremost, thank you for the hospitality. It was great shows, great content. Great to see you and Brent and everybody. Secondly, what's the view in Vegas on this tournament, Jimmy? Where's everybody leaning towards looking out? What are you seeing in Vegas? Some early trends on this year's March Madness.
Everybody's leaning everywhere, my friend, because first of all, this, you know, we always talk about every year, wide open, wide open. You know, we basically have 14 teams actually from 15-1 down to 6-1 with Villanova being the favorite there. So when you see such a spread like that, you know there's great interest. Now, has there been one team where there's been a steamroller? No, maybe a point and a half move. But other than that, kid, just the feel of it, I mean, just the amount of money we wrote yesterday, and I can only imagine what we'll do leading into tomorrow. And, you know, your guys, Arizona, it's not the softest spot there. It's a pretty good team they're playing. You're only an 8-point favorite. And you well know that Arizona State tonight, naturally, they're just a 2-point favorite over Syracuse. So interesting tournament, interesting so far, and look for how we consider more money than we've ever written on a Final Four since I've been there.
Really? So U of A, you know, go into this a little bit. Arizona's playing Buffalo. They could play Kentucky in the next round, but they could have Virginia in the Sweet 16. It feels as though, Jimmy, that the committee believes that U of A's got to go through a really tough road, and they've never once been to a Final Four under Sean Miller. What is the view in Vegas of U of A outside of the game against Buffalo? Is this a team?
Well, excuse me, young man, but about a month and a half ago, before all the fireworks over there, you were actually about an 8-1 favorite to win it all. But now, after what everything was happening, we jacked it up to 10-1, and there's nobody actually taking the 10-1. We get a little bite on the Arizona to win their conference. They're only 3-1 to win that. We actually had a couple $1,000 bet on Arizona there. But I'm not a politician. I don't get in the middle. Whatever they put up there, that's who we're going to book. But it looks like they're penalizing Arizona for maybe transgressions. So who knows, my friend?
The number one seed, you mentioned Villanova. Virginia just lost one of their guards. You've got Xavier. You've got Kansas. Is there a feeling that one number one is better than everybody else in this year's field from a betting standpoint, Jimmy?
Slightly. Not great, but slightly there's an advantage there. Naturally, not with Villanova playing Radford. They're a 23.5-point favorite, so that's basically going to be a walkover. But look at it this way, too, my friend. There's only three teams that are 20 points and higher, which shows you how good college basketball has become. Even the middle major teams, they're all good enough to beat somebody, and that's why I'm seeing so many people betting, you know, the first 15 teams, as used to be, just like it's zero in on maybe four teams, but now that field has stretched, my friend.
Jimmy Vaccaro at the South Point Resort and Casino. That is the place to head to, the sportsbook there. You see Jimmy bouncing around most afternoons. Brent Musburger doing his show there as well. Before I let you go, is there a couple of teams that people are really betting on as that dark horse, that sleeper?
Well, the dark horse I've only seen so far was NC State drawing some attention. And on the other side of the coin, I would say that Kansas, even though they're one of the favorites, they're thinking that, like, it's not a dark horse, but I would say there's more money on Kansas than any team right now.
I'll let you go off that, Jimmy. I know you're busy. Thanks. Jimmy, Jimmy Vaccaro there at the South Point Resort and Casino, right there on the floor getting him off. So appreciate his time for a couple of minutes. Bob Hurley Sr. is going to join us in about 5 minutes. Bob Hurley Sr. is the only person I know on the face of the planet who has two sons who are coaching in March Madness. And I'm really curious what Bob Hurley Sr.'s view of the job Bobby's done out here and even some of the comments made by Michael Crow about the volcanic nature of Bobby Hurley on the sideline, his son on the sideline here. So I'm going to talk to Bob Hurley Sr. about that, and also Danny, his son with Rhode Island. We'll have Jim Spanarkle, who's going to do the color analysis tonight of the ASU game against Syracuse over on True TV. Jim will join us, former great Duke Blue Devil. He'll join us at 10:50. And then Paul Coral will talk to the Lopes. Last night, I got a couple minutes here. Last night, did you know LeBron James was in town last night? Yeah, I know the game sold out, but I also know that the Suns shot 29% for the game last night. Just when you don't think you can be embarrassed any further, You know, there are billboards being put up in Philadelphia, or already up in Philadelphia. And in Los Angeles, people have been talking about getting LeBron James out there. And it all signs point towards LeBron going to L.A., being teamed up with Lonzo Ball and the Lakers, and the Suns will just continue going on and on and on. As I look at last night's game, and LeBron, I think we have a picture of this one play of LeBron from last night. LeBron scored 28, had 13 boards, had 11 assists, and LeBron was all over the place last night, embarrassing the Suns at every corner. If we don't have it, we'll get to it in the next segment. No, there it is. I mean, look at this. This is a great Michael Chow over at AZ Central. Just a whole bunch of guys in white uniforms looking up saying, oh my gosh, he's hammering us again. So that was last night. The Cardinals released Tyrann Mathieu. This does not come as any surprise. So Tyrann Mathieu is gone. I've never made a secret that Tyrann has always had a special place in my heart and always will, said Cardinals general manager Steve Keim. While we all understand that a part of the business, it certainly doesn't make it any easier. We all wish Tyrann nothing but continued success in his career and beyond. Tyrann Mathieu goes to the Seahawks or the 49ers or the Rams, and the Cardinals are going to get hammered over this, and they really shouldn't. Tyrann Mathieu was not as productive as he once was. The Honey Badger, it's great. We loved his story when he first came here, loved him as a player, was a true competitor. We use the term warrior and throw it around loosely, but if you were to be honest, last season, the production started to drop off. If you were to be honest, a couple of injuries, that is the life of the NFL. That, this story right here, is why I side most often with the players, because the players are treated like a piece of meat in the NFL. In this case, the Cardinals did everything for him. They extended his deal, got a lot of money. Fans loved him, loved seeing him out on the field, had that edge, had that sandpaper that you need in a locker room and on the field. But his production just flat wasn't there. And so now you have another spot that you need to have filled, because the Cardinals officially have released Tyrann Mathieu, and we're not surprised by this. Bob Hurley Sr. is next. I'm Brad Sussmat. And now we turn our attention back to March Madness, and a really cool story here. As I mentioned earlier in the show, the only man with two sons coaching the NCAA tournament is going to be with us next. We had Bob Hurley Sr. on the day that Bobby was hired at Arizona State, and it's worked out great with Bobby and the job that he's done here with ASU. Tonight, the Sun Devils play Syracuse in the play-in game. Bob Hurley Sr. in the Basketball Hall of Fame. He's won 28 state championships. He also has his other son, Danny Hurley, coaching in Rhode Island. They'll take on Oklahoma. And we welcome Bob Hurley Sr. with Brad Sussmat. How are you, Coach?
Good, very good.
Is your day today scouting Syracuse, scouting Oklahoma, going through tape? What is the day like for you today as the tournament unfolds for your two sons?
Well, I got a haircut this morning at 8:30 because I needed one, because we've been traveling a lot. And then we had CBS News Sports here this morning just to talk about, you know, the trip. We went to church at noon, and now we'll do this interview. We'll go pick up some grandkids from school,
yeah.
Open the gym for a while, and then start our trek out to, heading west.
And you won't be in Dayton tonight, or will you?
No. The way we figured out, it's 9+ hours, and it just doesn't work. We're concerned that we might be a jinx because we haven't seen them live this year. Mm. We've seen every game they've played, but from a distance, didn't want to now all of a sudden be there. So we opted to drive about halfway to Pittsburgh, settle in, watch the game tonight, and then stay over, and then drive into Pittsburgh tomorrow for the Rhode Island game, and then we'll play it by ear.
When you think about this, or have you thought about your son coaching against someone like Jim Boeheim, who's been in the tournament 30 times, when he first got into coaching, would you have thought that this was possible?
Well, you know, Coach Boeheim was one of the guys that recruited Bobby when he was a student athlete in our school, along with other kids from our school, so... there's a real relationship there from a long time ago. So it's very unusual that he's doing it so long. and that he's catching Bobby early in his coaching career.
What do you think tonight Bobby's going to have to overcome? You've watched the Sun Devils play. I'm sure you've watched the Orange play some this year. If you're just talking X and O's tonight, what are you going to be looking at?
Well, their length, Syracuse has much more length on their roster than Arizona State does. And they're gonna face the Syracuse zone. You know, they did have a chance to play against Washington in the tournament, in the regular season, playing, that same zone. So they have experience with it. And they've got to be able to, make shots, but I don't think you beat the zone from the three-point line. Mm-hmm. I think you got to get inside of the zone and attack them inside and then force them to collapse and then get some stuff outside. I don't think you want to go outside in. I think you want to go the other way. So they got to do that. And they also have to, they have to play good defense and be able to take care of the battle and Howard, their options, on offense, be able to contain at least one of them.
He's in the Basketball Hall of Fame. He's also the father to two sons that are coaching in the NCAAs, Danny Hurley over at Rhode Island and Bobby Hurley here, of course, with Arizona State. Bob Hurley Sr. with Brad Sesmat for a couple of minutes. I'm curious how you viewed Bobby's season out here. And in particular, there's been a lot said out here about his sideline demeanor. And have you watched it and have you talked to him about it? Or is that just who he is? President Crow referred to it as volcanic in nature. What have you
I think in watching Bobby on the sideline, I think he's very much like Danny was on the sideline several years ago. And I think as time goes on, you just realize that the officials, you're not going to influence them trying to work them. You can try to work a call here and there, but you just gotta kind of give up on the fact that you can influence them on calls you're losing. Those things, the call you don't get, you just got to put it in the compartment and move on. And I think as time goes on, he'll realize that his, the energy that his team feeds off is there. They have made great progress. Mm-hmm. And that's the one thing I think he's going to, he'll grow out of now the longer he's coaching, that he'll just grow into a what do you call it, relationship, a love-hate relationship with the officials, and just try to coach the team and work for calls when you don't think you're getting a good whistle, but realize that you're not going to change them too much.
Did you talk to him about it at all during the year?
Excuse?
Did you talk to him at all about it during the year, especially when President Crow made mention of it?
I only answer questions that either one of them asks me. I offer them no advice whatsoever.
Got it.
I think that makes for a much healthier relationship right now, where I can be the basketball grandfather and just, when we talk about something, I can offer some advice about, the way they're guarding pick and roll, or perhaps utilization of personnel. Don't give up on a particular kid. Try to keep playing him because you need depth. It's a long season. Things like that.
Danny's emotion on Sunday when he's pumped his fist and they buried his head in his hands for his brother. What were you thinking when you saw that, if anything?
Well, we were traveling back, so we were unlike the rest of the world. We were in a car in Delaware at the time, traveling back from Washington, D.C. So we were getting people telling us about who's in, and then it wasn't until we got home much later that day that we saw the piece on Rhode Island and Danny's reaction. But, I went to church with him before the game on Sunday morning. And on the way to church and on the way after church, as we walked back, we talked about, the game and how this game is really important to his team. And he shouldn't worry about anyone else, what happens, because there's only a couple of games left and teams are going to be affected if Davidson wins that. That's not his problem. His problem was to try to win that game, and there was enough pressure trying to win the game to not worry about everything else. But he clearly did, because this is his brother. They're 18 months apart. They shared a room growing up. They remained very close, and he just, he let true emotion come out there because he was so happy for Bobby.
That is awesome. That is awesome. Well, I will just tell you this, that out here, it has been a great it's been a great marriage having Bobby out here, and to take a program that has been really a mirage for 20 years and turn it into something that is relevant. And he's done a great job with it, and he's just getting started, and couldn't be more happy to have him out here. We appreciate your time and your insight. I appreciate the time. Thanks.
Okay, sure. Take care now.
Bob Hurley Sr. there. 28 state championships. Only man with two sons to sit there and watch March Madness. That is cool. Good stuff. On the other side, Jim Spanarkel. Jim Spanarkel was great guard at Duke, and tonight he's going to be doing the Arizona State game, the color analysis of it tonight, with Ian Eagle over on True TV. We'll have him next, then Paul Coro at the top of the hour with Talk to the Lopes. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, welcome back. We will have, in about 10 minutes, Paul Coro, Talk to the Lopes. Jim Spanarkel will be with us here in a couple of minutes. Jim Spanarkel, 28th year as the Nets TV analyst on the YES Network, but also he's doing tonight's Syracuse ASU game. Last night, so I came in here in a grumpy mood to start the show, but I think I'm a little torqued out too. Last night I went and saw a screening of Tomb Raider, and I wanted to walk out. And we can't walk out of these screenings because they ask us, you know, afterwards, what did you think of this movie? And I couldn't get out of there quick enough, even though I was trying to tell the PR guys. I wanted to leave like halfway through. As much buildup as this was, it was an IMAX too, so just right between the eyes stuff. Goody and I will talk about it tomorrow. I didn't even see Bill there last night. He may have been wise and just said, I don't want to be part of this at all. So there's that that's on my mind as well. We talked Tyrann Mathieu earlier. Just so you know, as I'm getting hit on this, Tyrann Mathieu was due $5 million in a roster bonus on March 16th. And when you talk about that amount of money and where things are, that's just, you can't do that. You just can't do that if you're the Cardinals. And so while there's a lot of uproar about Tyrann Mathieu no longer part of this organization, this should not come as any surprise or shock. This has been talked about since all the way back at the end of November. Let's turn our attention back now to March Madness and the Sun Devils. Tonight, Arizona State will be playing against Syracuse. This is the play-in game. This will be on True TV tonight. And Jim Spanarkel is with us, 28 years now, as the Nets TV analyst on the YES Network. A, B, he's doing tonight's game. So he is there in Dayton, Ohio. Jim, it's Brad Sussmat. How are you?
I'm doing well, Brad. Thanks for having me.
Good, good. I appreciate you joining us on game day. What is the overall view of from your side of this matchup tonight?
I guess the first word I'm going to start with is zone. You know, whether Syracuse's zone defense works as well as it has been over the years for Jim Boeheim and with Arizona State and Coach Bobby Hurley, I think the attack of the zone and the success of the zone is going to be key and paramount to who really comes out on top of this game.
When you look at the Sun Devils getting in and Syracuse getting in, a lot of debate about the last four that get in. Which team has any sort of momentum, I guess, is the big question we're getting out here and nationally about these two teams. Is there any side that you feel like is better than the other?
No, you know, I think they're actually fairly well matched, these two teams. And I think, you know, it should, you know, whenever you predict that something's going to be a good game, it goes the other way. But I think, as far as a prediction would be concerned, I think it's going to be a very entertaining basketball game. I think when you look at the Arizona State team, they have a lot of good guards, and I'll be really interested to see how they react and how they play against the zone. Now, I know Arizona State has come up against zones throughout the course of the year because of their backcourt. A lot of teams didn't really want to match up with them because they can't match up with them with their talent at the guard position. But, you know, the one thing about Syracuse, you know, when you play against teams that change mid-season, you know, like not necessarily all the teams that Arizona played, but if Arizona State played, but if they switch to zones because they think they have to slow down their guard play, well, those are, you're playing against teams that probably haven't played zone as much as Syracuse has. So I think one of the keys tonight is that Syracuse plays zone, and that's what they do. They live by it. They die by it. Jim Boeheim is a master of it. He has a lot of different tricks out of the zone. So it's not just a traditional 2-3 zone where you see two guys in front and three in the back, and you slide a guy into the free throw lane and you have it cured. You know, he has all these different adjustments on the fly. So overall, I just think it'll be interesting to see how Arizona State reacts to a team that really has a polished approach to playing defense in the zone.
Jim Spanarkle is with us. He's there in Dayton for Syracuse ASU. You can watch him tonight. He'll be a part of the broadcast with Ian Eagle. Jim, of course, the Nets TV analyst on the YES Network. You mentioned live and die by the zone. I've talked about the live and die by the three with Arizona State this season. So really, this is live or die. If they hit their threes, they win. If they don't, Syracuse's zone will come out and win. What do you make out of these guards for Arizona State? Just the short time you've seen them back there in Dayton, I'm sure on tape too, and in visiting with them and Coach Hurley the last day or so.
Yeah, I think you're right on, Brad, with that comment in terms of, you know, shooting the basketball from the outside. I mean, a lot of times if you can shoot it well from the outside. And one of the things about Arizona State is how far out do they want to shoot the ball. And if they're successful, what happens there if you start making some threes, and whether you build some tricks into that, like screening against the high guys on the 2-3 zone to get some open, you know, almost like playing like a man-to-man offense against the first two guys in the front of the zone, you may get some open looks. Now, if Arizona State is successful in hitting those shots, what happens from a zone perspective, you have to start cheating out a little bit and say, okay, Holder just hit two over here from the right side. Let's slide out and make sure we react quicker. So if you're getting the shots to go down, that means that the zone will extend a little bit, and then that will allow somebody to slip back into the paint area. And generally, I like to see a player who has the ability to catch the ball in the paint. Sometimes it's a lot of people use a big guy, you know, a 6'8 guy or whatever. I like to send a guy who's 6'5, a guard, a small forward type player who can catch it, shoot it, but more importantly, can make decisions on the fly, whether he wants to turn, shoot, look to the left, you know, the opposite corner, the opposite block, or sometimes the same block to make decisions on the fly. So that's what I think you'll see Arizona State flash somebody in there. Once, you know, if especially if they're hitting some shots to extend the zone from Syracuse's perspective.
Yeah, and I agree with you, Jim, on that. It's been a struggle this year for Romello White, Scheibel, and others inside to try to establish something, and that's really been the challenge. I'm curious, we had Bob Hurley Sr. on in the last segment, and he was talking about how Boeheim recruited Bobby at one point in time, and the matchup tonight of the sage veteran coach in Jim Boeheim against, really, Bobby hasn't played and coached, rather. Bobby has not coached a whole lot of college basketball, just the matchup of the coaches. And if you've seen Bobby's volcanic sideline behavior, what you make out of that, too?
Well, you know, it's interesting you had Bob Sr. on, because both Bob, the Hurley family is from Jersey City, New Jersey, and that's where I grew up. So I grew up in, I've known Bob Hurley Sr. for, oh boy, I don't know how long it's been. Let's just say that. It's been 50 years almost. So I've known Bobby Jr. and Danny, who's done a great job at Rhode Island also. I'm not so sure that's really, I mean, it's a story. Don't get me wrong. It's a big story because of the two names, you know, Syracuse. But once again, I think both Boeheim, starting with him, with the experience that he has over the years in terms of doing what he's been doing for so long and being so successful at it in 40-plus years, he's going to stick to his guns, and whether it's Bob Hurley Jr. across the way or, you know, John Wooden, who would be, you know, could coach against him, I think Boeheim's going to be Boeheim in terms of just being, you know, working on his approach and making sure that he understands exactly what they're trying to accomplish. I would expect even Bobby Hurley to approach it kind of the same way, recognize and respect that Jim Boeheim is there, that Jim Boeheim has been successful and his zone has been successful. But Bobby Hurley knows, just like any other coach who's across the court from another, you know, coach with that kind of experience, you know, the way I would approach it, I'm sure Bobby is, I have a job to do here. I have a job to get my guys ready,
right,
be aware of and prepared for the zone, make sure that they come in with a nice level-headed approach to it and an understanding of what our strategy is going to be against the zone. Even focusing on, I would focus on, if it was the tapes, I'd focus on tapes where people have not had success against the zone, to identify where problems have occurred, and not necessarily Arizona State, but other teams playing against Syracuse, identify what teams had problems, look at where the problems were, and then address the positive on the flip side of that and say, okay, we saw some of the negatives where there's problems in terms of attacking a zone. Now let's look at some of the positives, and this is what we're going to try to do against the zone. So you're identifying some negative things that can happen, so that when it happens during the course of the game, they can kind of have an instant flashback and say, hey, we went over that on the tapes. We understand that there were some problems. Now let's get away from those and go back to the positive side of what we can do and to accomplish and execute.
Before we get you out of here, I mentioned off the top, of course, the Nets TV analyst on the YES Network, Rhondae Hollis-Jefferson. A lot of fans out here, of course, are U of A Wildcat fans. How's he doing?
He's doing great. I mean, when you look at the Nets, I mean, you know, this year the win total isn't great for the Nets. So putting that aside, what the Nets are trying to do is build and develop an organization with, you know, young guys and bringing in, you know, over time they'll bring in a free agent here and there. But Rhondae Hollis-Jefferson has probably been the guy who has increased his improvement from last year the most on the Nets. You know, there were times last year, just being candid with it, that he was, you know, young and would catch the ball in the paint and maybe get in some trouble, take a bad shot. This year, it's funny, we've commented that if you looked at Rhondae Hollis-Jefferson, the way he's improved this year, there have been times when I've commented, you know, if you think back last year when he just made a great play in the lane or hit a 15-foot jump shot, he probably wouldn't be taking that 15-foot jump shot last year, and he was probably not making as many good plays as he has this year. So the improvement is really, it's not just one game or five games or whatever, but it's a trend line that he has really, really improved himself. I think his confidence has been very, very good, and his follow-up to the confidence has carried well from a physical standpoint. Doing really well.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Well, have a good show tonight. Appreciate the time on game day. Thanks.
You're welcome. Great speaking to you, and thank you for having me.
It's Jim Spanarkel with us. You will hear him tonight on True TV, along with Ian Eagle, doing Syracuse against Arizona State. And he's, of course, with the YES Network. On the other side, Paul Coro, talk to the Lopes. I'm Brad Sussmat. Time now for Talk to the Lopes. We continue on Wednesday's show, sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Talk to the Lopes. Every week we go inside Grand Canyon University, all sports. This week we'll focus primarily on basketball, but if there's other things that Paul Coro from gculopes.com wants to get into, that is fine as well. Tonight, Eric is going to be out at the College Basketball Invitational, GCU at home against Mercer. When I saw you last, you're on your deathbed in Las Vegas, so I hope you're better, A. B, what did you make out of the championship game against New Mexico State in the WAC tournament for the Lopes, and just that overall experience on the basketball court?
Yeah, it's, you know, it was clear, I guess, after three times New Mexico State deserved the bid. I felt like GCU played New Mexico State better in the first two meetings, really had a chance to win either one of those meetings. And on Saturday, just never really got its offense into gear at any point, really battled them defensively and grinded. And, you know, that thing was a real grinder for the first 15, 16 minutes of the game, and they were in it. And, you know, there was points in the second half where they were within three or five, and you still didn't feel like they were playing like we've seen them play. So it was a great learning experience for them to go through the tournament, you know, to survive that first round, come back, and really play one of their better games of the season in the semifinals. They got a taste of that do-or-die feeling of surviving and advancing, and it's good for the young guys, but a heartbreaker for those seniors who'd gone through, especially a guy, you know, a fifth-year senior like Josh Braun, and you know, guys like Casey Benson and Keontae Vernon, that everybody had been waiting for this moment. Casey in a different way, because he'd been in a conference championship every year in Vegas.
Right.
But the other guys, this was the first time.
Was the moment too big from your point of view for some of the players?
Didn't seem rattled to me at all. I think it's just a lot of the, you know, they'd had struggles to score throughout the year at certain points, and you know, they had really had to lean on their defense all year and try to change their offense midway through the year to go through the interior more with Allie Labor. And then you're, you know, leaning on a freshman to be your go-to scorer. And he never seemed scared of the moment at all. You know, I didn't feel like that with him, especially as a freshman there. He was trying to take some big shots in that game, and he made three-pointers. So I don't think the moment got him at all. You know, New Mexico State was a very long, athletic team. They had some guys step up for them that, you know, A.J. Harris scored 20. That's a guy who averages 9 a game. You know, Oscar Freyer did his job again defensively on Lofton, their best scorer, and he was, you know, I think 5 for 17 in the game. So, you know, Jamario Jones is the load. He's the player of the year of the conference for a reason. He had 14 boards in the first half. You know, they talked and talked about finding him, putting a body on him, and that guy just finds the ball.
Talk to the Lopes with Paul Coro, GCULopes.com tonight. The College Basketball Invitational, GCU against Mercer. That's out on campus. Eric will be out there. There are tickets available. You can get in and check it out. If you were to go through the progression of Lever, okay, and you've seen him every game. I've seen him in person a half dozen times. I've watched most of GCU's games on television. I have not seen many better big men as freshmen. It doesn't matter to me. I've had some people say, well, it's the WAC, Brad. That doesn't count in my opinion. I don't factor that in. I've seen progress and progression. Paul, this kid's going to be really something special as a big man.
Yeah, Dan Marley talked a lot about that after the game, about how, you know, what good footing the program's on when you have Allie Labor front and center for the next 3 years and mm-hmm. Oscar Freyer for two more years, and the experience that Damari Milstead got down the stretch of the season as backup point guard and finishing some games. And Damari Milstead hit the two free throws to clinch the first round game. You know, freshman stepping up there with ice. He was the leading free throw shooter in the conference this year. So lots to feel good about. But Labor's progression has been, you know, he came in a very skilled big man. You know, he has a shooting touch. He had already had the good footwork. He had, you know, next to no English, started the year coming off the bench and just, but he's got this confidence about him. He's got a little bit of a swagger and toughness, and that suits him well to mix it up. You know, we talk a lot about a lot of Europeans have to get used to the physical play mm-hmm. of American college ball, but that didn't really seemed to faze him at all. He was ready to put bodies on bodies and go down the block and hit some people. And that's, you know, the ability to have a post-up threat in college basketball is so different. And then at the same time, he can step out and hit three-pointers with a feathery touch and screen and pop. And he's just got so much more ceiling to go, but he came so far already to the point where 20-point games, you know, for the last half of the season were more common than not.
No, he's a 2010 guy. To me, when it's all said and done at GCU, he's going to be a 20-10 guy. I don't think there's any doubt about that. The Wooden legacy, let's talk about that a little bit. I saw this yesterday. This is pretty cool in terms of where GCU's brand has come from, where it was and where it is now, that you're being announced, your GCU being announced in March as taking part in a pretty prestigious tournament next season. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, the Wooden Legacy is that Thanksgiving weekend or Thanksgiving week tournament, and pretty much everybody on that list is somebody you know in college basketball that's been doing things. Fresno State, Hawaii, LaSalle, Miami, Northwestern, mm-hmm. Seton Hall, and Utah. Those are teams that GCU's been trying to get on the schedule, and some doors are starting to open as far as scheduling and who's calling GCU and who's open to getting called. So, you know, that tournament will do a lot to give them a lot of games on a neutral court. You know, we've talked before about how some teams are hesitant to come to GCU Arena because they know the atmosphere there is difficult. So, you know, they've taken the vantage point that they're going to go out and try to find games, you know, whether they're road games, neutral games, whatever. But they want to definitely raise the specter of who they're playing.
Before you get out of here, Mercer tonight, what's the thumbnail? What's the feel about being the College Basketball Invitational? The obvious thing is there's got to be a little bit of letdown initially. Then there's the guys who are in postseason. Just give me that last 48 hours and what Mercer looks like.
Yeah, they had, you know, a day to travel and soak their wounds a little bit about Saturday night, and then Monday was back to practice, and they've had 2 days of practice to get ready for Mercer because can't take them lightly at all. They won their last 8 regular season games. They're a lights out shooting team. They shoot it well from 3-pointers. They hit their free throws. They lost their leading scorer in the middle of the season and adapted. You know, this is a team that knocked out Duke 4 years ago in the NCAA tournament. So they're not a program to be taken lightly. Very experienced coach, and their point guard is Jordan Strawberry. And if that rings a bell, it is. It's Daryl Strawberry's kid.
Daryl Strawberry's kid. That's good. And DJ Strawberry's got to be in that. DJ's little brother, right?
I know. I almost slipped DJ Strawberry because sometimes I think DJ Strawberry before Daryl because he had his cup of coffee with the Suns.
That's right. That's right. I'll let you go off that. Appreciate the time. As always, glad to hear you're feeling better. Thanks, Paul.
Thanks, Brad. Take care.
That is Talk to the Lopes this week with Paul Coro, GCLopes.com. Talk to the Lopes.